Two-man game, TMG, get the news fast, AMG, game of two boxes. Name two boxes that hit as hard as this. Yeah, we're cutting to the truth, no, there ain't no narrative. Eyes up on the cup this year, hear the stadium erupt this year. For my team, TMG.
TMG,
we back.
We back and we good. Welcome to TMG.
Talk to them.
Talk to the people, man. Say something, man. You ready?
I was born for this.
You're born for this. This is an exciting week, man. You know, like May for sports.
April, May, and June, baby.
This is just the best time of the year to talk about sports, to be about sports. You know. And boxing, the premier sport, some might say. How did Max Kellerman say if people were in the park and you saw people playing football, you saw people playing tennis, and you saw people having a fight, where would everyone's eyes go to? The fight. And we got to see the heavyweight division, the glamour division, the best division in sports.
Boxing is just the purest sport, you know.
It is.
Like you said, two guys fighting in the park, people will see that. Yeah. If no names.
No names, man. If it was me and Melo fighting in the park, guys would be more interested in that than anything else that's going on in the park.
Word.
Unless people are getting into extracurricular activities, like Melo does sometimes.
I did not know what you mean, but, you know, let's carry on.
Anyway, we got to see the... I don't know. Would you say it was the biggest fight in boxing right now? The biggest fight in boxing or the most at stake?
Sorry, repeat that question.
Would you say that it was the biggest fight in boxing, this Usyk Fury fight? Or have there been bigger fights that have been made in recent years?
Usyk Fury, was that the biggest fight in boxing? Well, in what time frame are we talking?
Let's say the last 10 years.
So it's about 2014.
So we had Pacquiao Mayweather. No,
Pacquiao Mayweather
was
bigger than
2015.
Pacquiao Mayweather was bigger than that. I'm talking post Pacquiao Mayweather.
But Pacquiao Mayweather was bigger than that.
Yeah.
What other fights? Spence Crawford.
It's because Usyk is from a non. He's not a household name.
You have to
name.
Take all those factors into that.
That's the thing, and obviously he comes from. His English is not great. Like if Usyk could speak English like Vladimir Klitschko could, he would be a much bigger star.
He's never going to be a star because he can't speak English. So
I mean, his English is improving, but yeah, he's just unboxing. He just wants to be the best. Like he's yeah, but flipping Spence Crawford commercially, they didn't make it nowhere near the same because obviously. But then again, they didn't have the fingers involved.
They weren't. Yeah, so it wasn't in Saudi.
Saudis, because apparently Fury made like 115 M's, and I think Usyk made like 30 or 40.
He's never going to make as much as Fury. And that's why Fury is happy to take the rematch.
Yeah.
Because he'd be set for life. Who even cares? He lost his O, but...
I think he made like 40 or 50 against Fingy. Against...
Ngannou.
Yeah, against Ngannou.
How much did AJ made like 50? He was making like 40. If you look at his annual statement, he was making like 40.
Yeah, AJ was getting to them pounds still.
He is. Why is it only AJ's accounts that they release? Like AJ's the one that released his own accounts. Okay. I think AJ does it because he's a kind of a business. I don't know why he released his own accounts.
Yeah,
but he's always going to be a year behind, so you won't know what he made this year until next year, basically.
Anthony Joshua, the one and only.
Well, he's going to fight. Who knows what AJ's next fight is? I think he needs to wait for Wilder to fight Zhang, see what happens there. If Wilder wins, then we can get Wilder AJ in that time. But let's forget about that. So we have two fights that you say. Any other fights would you say possibly that could challenge it in terms of...
Canelo could potentially have done a Golovkin, but Golovkin, was again, similar to Usyk, wasn't a name like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Canelo has a star. He needs a dancing partner. Someone saying it's maybe Crawford, Canelo Benavidez, we'll see, but...
Canelo Crawford? I don't know if Crawford wants to...
But yeah, I mean, from what I can remember, no other boxing match... in that time frame, challenges apart from maybe potentially Spence Crawford and obviously Pacquiao and Mayweather's bigger. I can't think of any other bigger fight really.
Well, I actually think maybe the Fury Wilder rematch.
AJ Fury could be.
AJ Fury could be. Fury and Wilder, we much had a lot of eyes on it as well, especially in the US.
Yeah.
But the US is a big boxing market. And if they're not really involved, then it impacts numbers as well.
Of course.
My second question is, did this fight have the most at stake then? If it wasn't the biggest, did it have the most at stake?
More than any other fight?
More than any other fight. Considering there was 8 belts up for grabs.
There's a belt, yes. But the most at stake, again, was the Mayweather Pacquiao.
And why do you say that? Because those two met quite late in their careers.
They did. But those are two guys who are...
Pacquiao had lost already.
Yeah, those are two guys that generally are most people's top 10 pound for pound best all time, but definitely top 20. Like I said, a lot of people have Mayweather definitely in their top 5 or 1 or top 3. Me, I have number 1. A lot of people have Pacquiao essentially, yeah, top 10, top 20 at a stretch. And so whoever beat each other had the right to say, I'm better than this guy. Like if Mayweather lost, then a lot more people would say, we'll try to say Pacquiao was greater than Mayweather, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, he extinguished that by Mayweather beating him. And if Pacquiao did beat him, then Pacquiao's claim to be the best ever would skyrocket. That sort of stuff. Whereas Fury and Usyk, Usyk is now starting the claim of becoming considered one of the best ever. Fury, he did have a chance. If Fury wins, his career is very hard to
define.
Define and analyze and break down.
He's got it's up and some down. Great it's, wins.
His highs and his lows.
He's got some epic wins.
It's messy.
He's got some career lows. And even in his lows, he hadn't lost. I think this Usyk one was obviously he did lose. Obviously,
it's a bit like a Kawhi Leonard career. It's like some highs are really high, but then there's no lacks consistency.
Yeah, he does lack the consistency.
So that would have been, yeah, in that regard, I think the Mayweather Pacquiao was just too great. Even though they came late, but there was so much at stake. Even though they didn't have the belts. Like I said, Mayweather was bigger than belts. So was Pacquiao at that point. And obviously, this was before the Saudi money, and they were making that $400 million, $300 million for Mayweather, I believe, $100 million for Pacquiao. Mm. Like, this was 2015. This was years ago.
So even if we applied the inflation on that, but Floyd had to write off all his peas, though.
But flipping... But it was very up. In terms of belts, silverware... he had like 8 belts or 8 titles on the line. Mm-hmm. Can you name them all?
I can't remember. IBF.
Yeah.
WBF.
Yeah.
WBA.
Oh. WBA. I think I asked you last
Ring.
Week.
Ring. Ring.
Yeah. You got them all.
Huh? There's 8.
Yeah, I asked you last week and I think you got them all.
Undefeated. Undisputed. Something undisputed. The Saudi ring. I don't know.
The Ring of Fire.
The Ring of Fire. Turk's Ring. IBA? Is it IBA? The IBA is not one. WBA. WBA, WBF, IBF.
It's not WBF.
IBF.
There's IBF, WBA, WBA, Ring, Undisputed.
Yeah.
What else is there?
Linear.
Linear, yep. I'll give you that. Let's say linear.
Okay, I don't know what else.
IBO.
IBO. Oh, that's the one I keep on forgetting.
That's a new one that's not really recognised. It's WBA, WBC, WBO.
WBC, WBC, WBO. I need to remember. Why is IBA? What's that?
IBO, International Boxing Organization.
Who the heck has that one?
I don't know. That's come around recently, but it's not recognised as a world
title. Stop with all this. Jabber.
But what about you? What do you think? Is that the biggest fight, most at stake?
I think Spence versus Crawford had more at stake. Because both of them talked, both of them kind of built up the fight. It was more a lore in that fight rather than this Fury Usyk.
So two top 5 pound for pound fighters.
Yeah, more a lore, more build up. They had been avoiding themselves for years. I think Usyk came into the scene recently. Unknown quantity to me before he fought Joshua, so it wasn't the same as Spence and Crawford because the Spence and Crawford thing had been going on for a while. They've been fighting the same opponents, beating them the same way, and you're like, let's see what happens when they did fight.
Yeah.
What I would say though, even though Spencer Crawford were built up to be a bigger fight, this fight was 100 times better.
Way more competitive, yeah.
And there's a clash of styles, clash of techniques, clash of mentalities. I feel like it was a good watch. And it's one of those fights where I'd be happy to watch it again.
It was way more competitive, and it was way more competitive than the Spence Crawford fight. Way more competitive than the Mayweather Pacquiao fight. I would watch it again. It was a close fight.
What this fight actually made me think is that AJ can beat Usyk. That's what this fight made me think of. Because I believe what actually hurt Fury is that Fury actually lacks power. He lacks the power.
He lacks one punch power, yeah.
Yeah, he lacks one punch power, which AJ has. And I believe that if AJ can actually land, which Fury actually did land on Usyk.
Yeah, but Fury punch accuracy and selection and delivery of his punches are way better than AJ's.
But even that, I feel like AJ doesn't have to be as accurate. If you have that power, you load up, you apply the pressure, which you are, as AJ, you're more mobile, you can do that.
More mobile than who?
Fury. He's more mobile than Fury.
Is he?
I hope so.
I think he's more mobile in a physical sense, but in an athletic sense, but in a boxing sense, I don't think so.
Is it? Okay.
He hasn't got the footwork. The feints are not... No, no, he's not. The feints are not there.
He can't feint. Yeah, the feints and that, he doesn't have that at all. Fury, I think let's move on into the fight. I think what Usyk did was that the pressure of Usyk for the 12 rounds was just... It ended up being too much.
He was relentless. He said, Fury, I'm not going to leave you alone.
He was just relentless.
The greatest English ever.
Relentless. At the start of every round, he jumped through. Jumped through at the start of every round. He didn't give through any time to settle. He was just jumping him. When Fury did have his success, he was keeping him at range. He wasn't really giving Usyk time to settle in and actually apply that pressure. which he found his groove around round 4 to like 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then Usyk just... It's the relentlessness of Usyk. Maybe Fury got comfortable, but the relentlessness of Usyk is that he didn't get tired.
He didn't. And Fury... Because when he was on top in the middle rounds, he didn't capitalise enough on those. And he didn't invest in the body enough in the earlier rounds. And obviously, the last few rounds was more about him recovering and trying to withstand.
I think he did well from 11 and 12. I actually think Fury did quite well. Because... Round 9, that's where he got stumbled. Round 9, I think Fury was dazed, man. Fury was dazed.
Got caught for 1-2 or faint 1-2. Faint the right hand, landed the left hand. And then, yeah, that's the thing. Once Usyk knew Fury was stunned, he jumped on him. When Fury had him a bit hurt a couple of times,
he made Usyk stumble. Like
He didn't capitalise enough.
Yeah.
And then kind of let him recover. And... Probably the most shocking thing for me, maybe this is doing Usyk's inside fighting a disservice, but Fury didn't really wrap him up.
And I don't think he could.
Use his weight enough. Didn't make the fight ugly enough.
I don't think he could. I think he was a bit stunned by the pace.
Maybe it was. That's that. Maybe that's that. But for me, the whole fight was a Jekyll and Hyde type of fight. In the beginning, I had Usyk winning. Arguably the first three rounds. I had him definitely winning round two and three. Round one could have gone either way.
You had him winning. I think Fury won the third round, you know.
Nah, I never. I had it from this. Okay. For one round could have gone either way. Round two was Usyk. Mm-hmm. Round three was Usyk definitely for me. Round four was Fury.
Five was Fury.
Six was Fury. Seven was a bit close, but I give it to Fury. Eight again was a bit close.
I think that was Usyk.
I gave it to Usyk though.
Nine was Usyk.
Ten was Usyk. 11 was Usyk.
And then 12 was Fury.
And 12 could have gone either way, but I gave it to Fury. So
you had it, what?
In the end, I had
7-5.
Yeah, I had 7-5 to Usyk, but they're not down. So that's 151-12. That's why I had it.
You could easily have scored it 6-6. Some people could. This is how I see it. People could have scored it 6-6 with a knockdown. That's the most favourable you could have given it to Fury.
Yeah.
And then anyway, he would have lost. I don't see any way Fury could have won.
Because
people could have given him... There was a couple close rounds. Did he give 8? 8 was close.
8 was close, but I gave it to Usyk. He could have given it to Fury.
I'd say 11 was close as well.
And I think 12 was closer. 12, but I gave it to Fury. I mean, Fury, like I said, the rounds he definitely had were 4, 5 and 6.
It was clear. That's what
four, five, and six were clear. Those are three rounds, for Fury. 7, I think, was Fury's as well, and 12 was debatable, but I gave that to Fury. Now we're looking at, so that's 5 rounds. 8 was relatively close, I gave it to Usyk. 1, you could have given it either way, but I gave it to Usyk. But Usyk definitely had 2, 3, 9, 10, 11.
That's 5 clear rounds.
He had 5 clear rounds, and one of them was a knockdown. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you could have given 12 to him, you could have given 7 to him, and I said 1 you could have given to him as well, and obviously 8 as well. So I think best case scenario was, like I said, you could have probably eked out a draw or with the knockdown.
I think it's good it wasn't a draw. And I think on reflection,
140-130.
When on reflection, looking back at the fight and actually the general feel, it felt like a Usyk win anyway.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, it felt like.
I mean, after he basically almost had him KO'd. Yeah. If it wasn't for the refs.
To be fair, it would have been interesting because if that knockdown didn't happen, I wonder how they would have. I wonder if Usyk would have won.
No, not that happened. They were giving it a draw.
But one card had Fury winning with the knockdown. Fury would have won.
Okay, without the knockdown, if the cards still stay the same, and say Usyk just wins that round, yeah, we'd have been a draw. Because that 114-113 guy would have gone in favour of... would have made it a draw. It would have been 113-113 or 114-114, rather. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Usyk, he's a class above. I didn't have him winning, I had Fury winning.
Do you think...
Well, I didn't expect him to win, I thought Fury would win.
They should have stopped the round in round 9.
Oh, sorry, that's what I'm going to step onto. The ref initiated the count at an ideal time for Fury. Because the time he initiated the count, Usyk had his hand up like this, and Fury was on a rope like this, couldn't protect himself. If he had let him swung, he's got off him a wilder punch on the way down. I don't know if he gets up from that. And if he does, I don't know what condition he's in. He would be in a lot more hurtful of condition. Mm-hmm. But he's done it before, so maybe he can do it again. And obviously, he was bouncing side to side. And obviously, the timing of the stoppage, no, the timing of the knockdown as well, late last few seconds, ref gave him a few more seconds to recover. And then obviously, he was able to go into, saved by the bell, able to go to his corner and recuperate.
What I would also say is that I think Fury is getting a lot of bad advice in his corner. Like, his dad was just chatting crap, man. Use the jab. He was saying, use the jab. What? He just used the jab. And he was telling him it was up.
Hey, his dad is...
Andy Lee and Sugar Hill, they were actually telling him, like, giving him the word. But he's hearing his dad saying, use the jab.
I don't know why, to be honest, his dad's not usually that involved. I don't know why he was involved for this occasion. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Too many cooks in the kitchen. I don't know what the thinking was in terms of drafting Jonathan Fury or John Fury in. I don't know what they wanted to accomplish. Maybe to give Fury the extra motivation. Maybe it was lacking motivation. Maybe he needed that.
Maybe because he headbutted. That's it.
Like I said, they said, I watched online, they said if they had won, they'll be saying that was a genius masterstroke bringing John Fury in.
Why did he do it? I just don't get it, man.
But
he didn't need him in his corner.
But my thing is, one fight, Fury was trying too much, wasting energy showboating.
He should have showboat. He should just take the fight seriously.
Because I don't remember him showboating that much against Wilder, and he lost focus.
I think maybe after the first couple of rounds, he was like, actually, Usyk's punches don't hurt.
Yeah, maybe.
Usyk's punches don't hurt. I've seen these combinations. I'm prepared for it. I'm comfortable. But what actually ended up happening is that it wasn't that the punches don't hurt, but the accumulation of the punches.
Yeah,
that
actually is...
The accumulation ended up punishing Fury. It wasn't that one punch power, it was the multiple punches, the consistent punches. To be fair, Fury was outlanding him for most of the fight, and then all of a sudden, because it's consistency with Usyk, and he was controlling the pace, it took his toll.
Actually, it was killer. The pace as well, with the mental pressure, which converts to physical pressure or fatigue as well. Yeah, Fury, he's exhausted him and, you know, he almost got mad.
I think Fury didn't use his advantages as well as he usually does. He tried to box with him. I do agree. He should have controlled the pace. He didn't control the centre of the ring at all, actually, throughout the whole fight. He should have leaned on him, pressured him, fell on him, put pressure on those legs. And I think that would have told. Let's see how the rematch goes. But I'm actually looking forward to the rematch. I'm actually looking forward to what actually happened in that fight.
I think Fury can win the rematch. Because he had openings and chances there. But Usyk just always finds a way. So when Usyk ups ante, can he? But I think, yeah, he needs to focus on engaging more on clinches and using his weight a bit more. Being more aggressive and when he has his openings, that sort of stuff. A bit more to the body and just staying focused because he got caught with a punch in the eighth, which kind of set up him for the ninth when he got caught and his nose got bloodied. That kind of took away from his focus. Defense could be a bit tighter. But yeah, also, you know, maybe I remember Andre Ward said something to close. Andre Ward said something really telling when he said about the Spence and Crawford fight. He said it would be a close fight, blah, blah, blah. However, at this point in time, these sort of fights, whoever's lived the life of a boxer, it will show in this moment. When, you know, when the chips in the middle of the table, they've been through so much, you know, for a little percentile advantage, who has been living the life of a boxer, who's not been drinking, who has not been, you know, going up in weight and coming back down in weight during camps, who's been, you know, staying in good condition throughout and living that life, that those extra little juices of energy and quality will come out with that sort of stuff. And that's what Usyk's doing. Usyk lives the life of a boxer. Fury's been up and down, ballooning up in weight, overweight, obese at times, blah, 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 drinking alcohol, all this stuff, diet, this sort of stuff. He's not living the life.
I think he's had the natural talent for so long and he's got by with that natural talent.
Yep.
But what you've met some of the same amount of talent, but the level of hard work is different.
Yeah, that's similar to Spence Fury. Similar talent, maybe. And then the level of hard work, dedication, it shows off to be the difference. That's why I also go back to Floyd. Because Floyd had the talent, but the dedication to his sport and hard work.
He's still active to now, man.
As a guy, man.
Shout out to him.
Well, yeah. Sorry, before we go on to the next segment. Joe Ryobo, sorry, could you put my phone on airplane mode? Because I think the battery may run out, please. Put on airplane mode, my phone.
Yeah, put on airplane mode.
If you scroll down from the top right.
He's got too many messages, this guy. Yeah, he's telling you how to use an iPhone. That's crazy, you know.
Are you sure? Believe in you. Ryobo's even more techie than me. I have to pause it because you can't do that. No worries. That's fine. What's the battery percentage now?
11%.
Oh gosh.
you have to make hard work at this.
Fabulous, because I'm coaching. But I leave my house in it. Yo. So what should we talk about? Arsenal?
Yeah, let's talk about Arsenal. Sorry, I've got a cough.
Arsenal falling short of the title. It's crazy. I've seen how good their run was in 2024. Only two games dropped against Villa, against City. I saw Rodri saying that you know, we didn't have the mentality to take City on and try to win the game. I think that was a very good point. I think the issue was the Villa game.
I think Villa ended up taking 6 points from Arsenal this season.
And West Ham as well. No, not West Ham.
Fulham took four.
West Ham took three at least.
Mm-hmm. West Ham beat them, yeah. I think what happened to Arsenal, Arsenal had that really poor stretch around Christmas. They drew with Liverpool when they could have really won. But they lost to Fulham, lost to West Ham, and they also lost to Aston Villa that month. And that's where the titles ended up being lost because Man City were actually cutting a running ball that month.
Mm-hmm.
But when they lost to Aston Villa, from that moment onwards, they didn't lose. They didn't drop points.
Also, we lost to Newcastle as well.
I also did lose to Newcastle. Was that November or December? It was around that period.
The
dubious
one.
And then what actually ended up happening to Arsenal is that they turned the switch on around Christmas after that run. And they only dropped, lost two games?
Only dropped points in two games.
Two games post-Christmas. Opposed in the new year. But the game that did lose points was a telling day. That game against Aston Villa. Liverpool had dropped points earlier, losing to Crystal Palace. And I feel like the pressure of Liverpool dropping points told on Arsenal. to the point that we're like, okay, we actually have opportunity now. And that tells me there's just not that mental fortitude yet within the squad. And Aston Villa were up for that game. Like, the hatred that Emi Martinez and Unai Emery had, they wanted to beat them so bad.
Of course, yeah.
But you can't fault Arsenal. They did what they could have, they needed to do. The Man City game, now if we look on it in reflection, if you told someone you got a point away at the Etihad, you'd be happy with the point. Watching the game, though, Arsenal didn't really try. They didn't try to go for the victory. They didn't try to pressure Man City that game. They really just came there, called the point and said, okay, we got the advantage. To be fair, Man City didn't even... They faced Liverpool and Arsenal back-to-back weeks. They didn't win both games and they still won the title. It tells you that it's not about the games against the other big six. It's about beating the lower teams.
It's about everything. But what you're saying is right. It's not the onus on the big six games is not as much as people think.
It shouldn't be.
At the end of the day, yes, you know, you're stopping them from taking points off you and you're taking points off them. And one game could be seen as a 6 point in terms of swing. But at the end of the day, in terms of actual points on the board, is 3 points.
As you said, every game does matter. I think the big six games is more like a mental advantage when you win. Like, okay, I've knocked this guy back. But they're not everything. Because you could win that big six game and then go to Luton away and drop points. And it's like one step forward, two steps back.
That's true.
So what Man City are really good at is that when they have teams that are lower than them, they beat them.
True.
You don't mess around with those games. Arsenal sometimes, they low. They really need a season like Liverpool. When Liverpool just made Man City quit.
Relentless. But Arsenal lack of the striker to do that.
They should get striker this summer.
Yeah.
Right? And guys are saying that Havertz had a good stretch down the end of the season.
I think Havertz will be really good as a backup striker. And when he's on form, a starting centre midfielder or a back in midfield. I think he's
never played centre midfield.
I think that's what you should be looking to do. He should be or attacking midfielder. Maybe you could do a 4-3-1.
He's a better striker than Gabriel Jesus.
Well, of course, yeah. Jesus is not putting the ball in there, but I think we should try to get someone like Isak. You know, Newcastle.
150 M's if you want him.
Yeah, it's a bit too much. But I mean, Havertz is a great, like, he's one of those players, like I said, not a starting striker. He could be a starting midfielder, attacking midfielder if he's on it. But actually, wait. Havertz can only start as a striker in certain teams where if you had someone like Saka and another boy of his quality on the other wing, then yeah, I think Hazard could start. Havertz could start. Same as how Firmino was for Liverpool. We have Mane and Salah, they're going to be your main goal threat.
What Arsenal also need is a backup for Saka so he can rest him.
Yeah.
We need that ability for actually players that if you're playing poorly, you can be dropped. We need that rotation.
As I said, it can be for me, it can be have another striker
or a winger.
Or winger.
I'm saying Liao.
Actually, we need a striker regardless. It's either a striker winger or get a striker. Because I still feel Gabriel Jesus can do a job on the wing.
I don't think you need a... See, this is where I have a philosophy point on this. Is that, okay, if you have two high-scoring wingers, you don't really need a backsman striker.
You don't.
You don't. And I feel like that's why I'm saying... Saka's output plus another winger with the same amount of output.
Oh yeah, that would work. And especially you have someone that can link the play together like a Havertz, that would work.
Yeah, that could work. But if we don't have that and you're like Martinelli has a season like this again, you do need a backman. You need a certified backman. You need a guy that's going to get you 20 goals regardless. Doesn't matter what's happening, 20 goals a season. You need to pencil that in. And then the other goals can come from wherever. You need a winger that's going to get you 15 and 10. Another winger that gets you 10 and 10, maybe.
Yeah, they're saying Havertz looking like... not Havertz, sorry. So you're saying Martinelli looking like the Brazilian Walcott?
Yes, my Martin Walcott's better, more clinical than...
But yeah.
If Walcott wasn't just generating, guys would gas him up, you know.
Same with the gas, like Rashford, he hasn't got an assist or create chance or something like that this in 2024.
Don't make me laugh. How he's not going to use this one.
Sad day.
But Russia, you know, hey, breaking news, Pochettino.
Sacked.
Leaving Chelsea, man.
Leaving or sacked?
It said leaves. It said mutual. Chelsea, so.
He's been told he'd give the boot.
Yeah. All I know is that the Zerbis...
He still had a year left, and he had a year extra.
I think it's a strange move, to be honest.
Nothing's happened this season.
He's been crap this season, to be fair. Huh? I think he's been poor this season, Poch. To be fair, how Chelsea even got tops?
Well, they got six in the end, yeah.
They got top six. The way they were playing, that's shocking. I don't think they're that far away from top four, to be honest.
That's true. But yeah. Arsenal, we'll see you again next season. They must get a forward. Potentially another midfielder. And...
Yeah, Arsenal's tiring you, man.
And a centre-back, potentially. Let me
ask you this question, yeah. Look back on Arteta's reign now, yeah. Is there anything to show from what he's done?
FA Cup.
The FA Cup. Oh, that's what Spurs were saying.
Exactly, but it's been consistent. Not just one off season.
That's what Spurs were saying.
No, Spurs done one season. We've been a couple of seasons.
Spurs did a couple, the same amount of seasons.
Two seasons where they'll compete for the title.
Compete for the title and then went to Champions League final.
Well, that wasn't. Well, but yeah, they won't compete for the title.
They were competing for the title.
The second season, though, they won. I mean, if you tell me.
They could have won the league when Leicester was there.
Yeah, that was the only season they compete for the title. We've been competing for the title twice.
Finished second the next season.
Did they?
One of the seasons they finished second.
Did. Yeah.
Was it Chelsea? When Chelsea won, they finished second. Maybe, I think they may have finished second.
On the season Leicester won, they finished third behind us in the end. But I mean, yeah, in terms of silverware, not that great. FA Cup.
So what's the difference between them and Spurs?
He's got silverware in the FA Cup.
Yeah, but like FA Cup, bro, that's a long time ago. That's pandemic.
And also, Arsenal's team is young. And
when they won silverware, guess the guys that were playing? Pepe, Aubameyang, yeah. Maitland-Niles.
it's all like within 3-4 years ago.
So that's what he's got to show.
And obviously the culture's changed. The team's actually become
really but with his own guys, he's won nothing.
In terms of when Community Shield.
Flip, man.
But yeah, in terms of silverware, we need to put more trophies in cabinets. But I mean, if
put it, one.
But if this season, next season is over, if there's no other progression, then yeah, you can all questions will be asked.
But two seasons of finishing second is nothing to be sniffed at against a City team that's won 4 in a row.
Hey, if you like, if you're a LeBron guy, which I believe you are, you got to respect his hustle. Cause that's what LeBron. LeBron is the best at finishing, being the first loser. So getting to the finals and losing.
Am I a LeBron guy? Am I just a...
But for LeBron, a Jordan.
I'm an anti-Jordan guy at the moment.
Okay. So speaking of anti-Jordan, the new Jordan, as they say, Anthony Edwards.
He linked it up. He called the episode anti-Jordan.
He could do, yeah. Let me write that down. 1-9.
Anti-Jordan, you know. Relentless, no media training. So guys love him right now. He's next up. I did tell you that, though. Definitely. I told you that.
I'll give you a huge credit because he's still going to the moon and back.
Did I not tell you this? I told you this last summer. You weren't listening to me.
Well, you're stuck. So I'm all in, man. I'm going to get a jersey.
You should get a jump in. I told you this last summer when I was saying I'm going to dash some Luka stock.
And now they're playing against each other.
Yeah, man.
I'm saying, who do you want to go to the final?
I want Luka to get to the final. Man.
So you're kind of in a win-win.
I'm in a win. I'm perfect. There's nothing I can do that can make me feel upset, man. I told guys that Ant's next. People should have listened to me. I told you that Luka might be the next Jordan. People should listen to me. 2 conference finals in 3 years. That's my guy, Luka. 2 different supporting casts. I can't complain, man. I can't complain.
I might have to get Anthony Edwards, because I need that. I need to win the chip.
If he wins Anthony Jordan. That's what we need to be calling him, man.
If he wins the chip, that sets him up for a tremendous career.
It's a new champion this year, so you either going to get Halliburton, Tatum, Luka, or Anthony Edwards.
I think the Celtics will finally do it, to be fair.
You think the Celtics will do it?
They got so much experience. So again, you've been in the name of
so long. They've only got made one finals with this.
Finals, but how many conference finals have been? Like 6 or something?
6, bro. That's so crap, bro. What conversion rate is that?
Yeah, moving to Haaland this season.
Flip, 6.
One of the Haaland's even moving like flipping Darwin Nunes.
Yes, Darwin, that's even worse than, that's like Cabby J. Bro.
Eventually you got a score, but flipping... that battle to be the face. Yeah, because whoever wins
is now the new guy.
Whoever wins, they can start becoming a new guy, especially if it's like,
if it's not Luka,
especially like Tatum and what's his name and Halliburton.
I don't think Halliburton could become the face, because even if he does, let's say this, if Indiana were to win, yeah, people will say something like injuries. They'll say every round they face a team with injuries, they'll be like Giannis and Dame were injured. Knicks, half the roster were injured.
But the Celtics, see what happens with the Celtics? Or just
who knows who gets injured in the Celtics? Indiana. But who knows? You never know. Tatum might just.
I mean, but you will need to really come out of his show a bit more in terms of being a character.
Alabama is more of a character than Tatum. He was talking to the Knicks.
He is. But in terms of like, maybe who knows? If he wins that title, gets that worldwide appeal, because I don't think he's that big of a name.
He's not even in Team USA.
There you go. But I do like his game. His game's very tidy.
He's tidy. He gets everyone involved. Yeah, man.
Fans a good combination of scoring and playmaking.
Yeah, the Alabama's a very good player.
And Pascal Siakam there as the OG.
Yeah. I feel like Indiana actually needs one more piece. I don't know what their next piece is. But I like the way they play. It's very different to everyone else. They're a good team.
They've got a good team. Turner, him, Siakam, Halliburton, and the guy, I forget his name, the new boy.
You got TJ McConnell, they've got Nemhart.
The other guy as well, that kind of
plays. Neesmith.
I think he's him, yeah, small forward.
Yeah, he's a good defensive player.
I think he's new. I think this is.
He played for Celtics.
Did he?
Yeah, trade. Neesmith.
Well, it's not Neesmith, I'm thinking of. Let me try to get this, actually, hold on. But then, yeah, I mean, there's going to be a new face, new towel. Let's see.
Well, do you like TJ McConnell? Is that the guy you're talking about?
Not TJ McConnell.
It's Neesmith, man. We've even got the last year's first round pick. Mathurin is not local. He's injured. So they got guys. You're talking about Neesmith.
Is it Neesmith? Let me see. Mathurin, that's it.
He's injured? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's injured.
Who the fuck injured guy? I don't even know.
He's injured.
This is his first season, I think.
Second. He was a rookie last year. I don't know what injury he had surgery.
Yeah, this is second season, yeah.
Don't worry, man. It's not my knowledge. Man, I've got Celtics versus Dallas, and Dallas winning the chip, man.
You hope so, too, as Dallas. I don't see Dallas being Timberwolves barring injuries.
If Dallas wins, my NBA life is complete.
Yeah, because we've got that bet. Dallas, yeah, not Dallas.
Oh, Ben, Mbappe!
Nonsense.
Oh, my gosh! But that bet. I might actually win this thing.
You can have a chance.
Because Mbappe's not winning the Champions League until next year.
You have a chance.
Flip, I actually have that bet. Guys were laughing at me, though. Guys were laughing at me. Look what might happen.
Naku.
Baby, tell Io this. They laughed. Even Yomi laughed.
They're laughing at you.
They're laughing at me. But who do they think Mbappe is?
He's him.
He's not him, man. He's a version of a him.
No, the H of H, the him of hims.
He's
the. So they showed us. He's going to show us again in the Euros. Going to take that energy. You know, capitalize.
He's winning yours then. Hmm? Before we end the episode, he's winning yours.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I'm gonna hold you to this.
It's France or England?
England.
I like Portugal. I want to say France.
I'm taking Spain.
I don't trust.
There's only two of us. There's only two of us. We could pick two teams. This can be our little sweepstakes.
France or England for me.
So you're taking France or England?
Yeah.
I'm taking Spain and Germany. Do you have any team that you think can win Euros?
England.
I don't know where this England love is coming from.
South Korea is going to F them up, but France, England for me.
Spain and Germany. I feel more confident with my picks. Is Germany the home nation?
Tony Cruz, farewell.
Is Germany the home nation?
Oh, yes.
Spain.
And shout out Tony Cruz, he announced his retirement.
34 years old.
He's done it all. He's been playing since he was like 18.
Yeah, tell him to cut, man.
And his technique, I think technically one of the best footballers ever.
He's not playing in the Champions League final, though.
They said that after the Euros.
He's going to Euros?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, but Germany winning this thing, man.
Toni Kroos.
Hey, hey, I want peace for this. If the two teams I pick, if any of them win, I want a steak dinner at M Kitchen.
Damn. You want the same where I should have taken Shorty? You want to go there instead?
Yeah, take me.
Damn. But yeah, make sure you like and subscribe for us on all socials. That'd be the Instagram and Twitter. Listen to us all to be Apple Podcasts and Spotify. YouTube, please. Let's get it. It's your boy Mello, your boy J.A. And we the TMG boys, and we out.
Let me go home so I can eat this food.